Hi, welcome to the CWF Gamecast. Today is Thursday, the 26th of August. I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt, and today we have a great show for you. We're going to be talking about a little bit of everything today, from Games Day UK, the latest Forge World newsletter, the White Dwarf subscription contest, along with Microsoft Windows Vista, and we may also be discussing some games and books about games. So I hope you enjoy this show, and actually we're going to just jump right into it. And today we're going to start off with our music to game by section, and we kind of changed it a little bit last week on Sunday when we alternated from actually playing a piece of music in the show, which we will still do, you know, every now and again, to referencing our brand new radio station. We have an internet radio station called the CWF Gamecast Radio, where we play all sorts of 80s, we play some techno and dance, we play some metal, some rock, and we also play, of course, music for you to use when you game, along with podcasts, pod safe music. If you would, you head on over to our radio station. It is wargamingforums.com/8000. And that'll take you right into it, and you can see what we have going on. We tend to have our radio station up and running at preset times right now due to staffing issues. And we're working on, you know, when that will be and everything. Right now it looks like we are running our station on Sunday afternoons. Actually early evening rather, depends on when I have to work. Tuesday nights from 10 to 12 or 1. And then also on Thursdays, except for the last Thursday of the month, we run it for several hours on Thursdays and on Saturdays too when I have off. And we play all sorts of music. We also do little bits with impressions and we just kind of talk about stuff. I strongly recommend that you head on over and check out the CWF Gamecast Radio. And if you didn't get that whole website address down, what you could do is you could always go to our website, which is wargamingforums.com. And if you were to head there, you can find show notes for any of our podcasts. And if you were to look up the podcast from today for the show notes, you would see under number 3 that it says Music to Game By. Check out CWF Gamecast Radio. And you can click on that CWF Gamecast Radio thing, and it would open up our radio for you and take you to the page, and then you can click on listen and it'll play in your favorite media player, whether it's, you know, iTunes or Winamp or Real One or Windows Media Player or whatever you like. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to have a podcast or a radio station or our blog if it weren't for a web host. And our web host is achohosting.com. They are our web hosts of choice, where web hosting plans start at just $3.55 a month. These guys know web hosting. They have affordable plans. They have knowledgeable staff, and they're incredible. They really are. I know I mention it every podcast, and I feel that, you know, it's something that you might like to know, but also that, just for the sake of disclosure, that I should mention, and that is that I am the sales department manager at Acho Hosting. That's an interesting little job I do on the side, and one of the main benefits is that in that job, I get to talk to a lot of people like you who may have websites and who are looking for affordable web hosting, maybe their first time website owners, or maybe they're seasoned veterans, and they just kind of need to know what to do and where to go, and I get to help people with that. One of my greatest achievements and biggest pleasures was when I got to speak with Ross Burkett, owner of, that's right, WarVault.net, or the WarVault Project. And he was looking for a new web host. He talked to me. I spent some time talking to him, answering questions and stuff. Got him transferred over, and now the WarVault Project is proudly hosted by Acho Hosting. Additionally, we're in talks with a local gaming store of mine who is looking forward to moving over and transitioning to Acho Hosting. So you can see that Acho Hosting is an epicenter of hosting for gaming sites, whether you have a game clan for, you know, like Dave Defeat or whatever, or you talk about miniatures gaming, you do board games, or whatever you do. Acho Hosting is great for that, and, you know, they cover a wide array of things from, you know, Simple Machines, which is a free message board software, to anything that you could want to do. So be sure to check out achohosting.com, web hosting at just $3.55 a month with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no setup fees. What's not to love? For one of our segments, we're going to be talking about the Games Day UK. And for those of you who don't know, UK holds their own Games Day like we do here in America. And their Games Day had recently ended. They had a pretty good turnout and had a lot of things going on. You can find photos of it on the World Wide Web, and it looked absolutely packed. All sorts of great terrain, tons of stuff that you could buy. They also have, you know, like an artist center where you could view the works of people who were entering the competition. There's a whole Forge World thing going on, which has been, you know, joining the area lately. Whenever there's a Games Day, they try to make it there. They hold mega battles. I think there was a 40K one, a fantasy they had, Lord of the Rings, I believe, as well. And one of the things that was really, really cool there is this gaming table that they were using. And I believe it was for fantasy. It was featured, I believe, in number 322, rather, of White Dwarf. And the table is called The Flight of the Grundenberg. So it's kind of like an aerial table, and it was built by Games Workshop Reading. And what it is, basically, you have like the engineering might of the dwarves versus the dragons of the high elves, which is kind of a cool combo. And the table's basically this gigantic canyon that goes, you know, steep sides going right down into water. There's like a river or whatever there, and it is fabulous. It's really, really impressive. And there was another great one for 40K where it was the entire table was a floating Tau city over the water and stuff. And just incredible. And there was also one other one that was an, you know, Mines of Moria table for Lord of the Rings where the table was literally horizontal and you played at different levels. It was a subterranean table. It's one of the best tables I've seen in quite a while. So, you know, it's just really impressive. I strongly recommend that if you would like to head on over to our website, look in our show notes where we have a link to all this. As you know, one of the biggest events of any, you know, Games Day event is, that's right, the Golden Demon competition. And Golden Demon is one of the biggest painting competitions around. It's huge. People really get into the spirit of it. They plan years in advance of their entries, and of course there are links to the Golden Demon entries. Winners there. I know they're working on doing like a whole little photo shoot spread that they're going to be putting up. But one thing I want to draw everyone's attention to is when you go to the Golden Demon page, which we have the link in our show notes, and you scroll down a little bit, and first you're going to see like a several tech priest kind of guy and someone who looks like a commissar kind of on a horse, and then you see like a Nightbringer and an orc. But when you scroll down a little bit more, you're going to see some Space Marines, and under that you're going to see a Minotaur, a High Elf, and an Ogre. And it's a High Elf that I want to draw your attention to, because if you've been following our podcast lately and visiting the links that we talk about, you'll notice that this High Elf kind of looks familiar. And I was perusing the page earlier, and I said, wow, these are really cool models. And like the ones here that they show at the bottom, those aren't the winners. They were finalists. So they didn't win, but they did make it to the finals. And that High Elf in the middle, I was like, he looks really familiar. The non-metal metal and the design on the shield, just really incredible. And I said, I think I know where that's from. So what I did was, I went to where I thought it was from and looked and compared. And the picture for GW was a little duller than what I had seen. But sure enough, it is a High Elf Lord that was entered in the Mini Painters 3 contest, or at least I believe it is. It was a strong comparison to it. Looks exactly like it from the design on the shield to, well, the entire model, the paint job and everything. I believe it's the exact same one. I could be wrong. I don't think so. But if I am wrong, you know, I'm sure someone will tell me. And, you know, I had mentioned a while back that I wanted everyone to go to Mini Painters and vote for that model, and I believe that model won the Mini Painters contest. We still have to find out the official word on that. Mini Painters, you're kind of taking your time, so, you know, move along. But I want to say that, you know, this proves that although I am not an official judge, I am not a painter, I don't convert, I don't have a lot of skill with that, but what I do have a lot of skill with is knowing what I like and knowing what is quality, what is well done. And I encourage you all to go and vote for this model, vote for Ed Hyland, saying it's the best. And, you know, clearly judged by the results of the Games Today Golden Demon competition, people in the UK who were judges felt the same. Although this didn't win the Games Day Golden Demon competition, it was a finalist. And that shows that this artist has a lot of skill. I want to applaud the artist. I don't know who it is as of yet. Their name has not been released. But I'm sure that Steph over at Mini Painters will be releasing the winner soon. And I look forward to finding out who the artist is, because I want to congratulate him personally and just say you did an incredible job. And also to say that if I had the money, Lord knows if you even would be willing to do this, but if I had the money, I'd be interested in purchasing this model. It's simply fabulous. It's really incredible. Job well done of non-metal metal, and the work on the jewels and the gems and stuff. It's incredible. I could rave about this for ages and ages and ages, but I won't, because, you know, we have a rest of a show to do. Anywho, head on over to our website. We got the show notes. Just look at all the Golden Demon entries. Whether they were finalists or they won or didn't win or whatever, it doesn't matter. You guys deserve a major round of applause for even submitting and putting all that work in. So give yourself a pat on the back. Every so often, Forge World puts out a newsletter. They email it out, but they also put it on their website. And from time to time, we talk about it and things that they mention in it. And this is one of those times we're going to be talking about it again. And this particular newsletter, I think, is number 154, maybe. There's a couple things that they talk about. They actually talk about the Games Day UK, because Forge World has their own prize there where they name, Best in Show. And it's like a Forge World setting or whatever. And the one for their best in show is Acadian Command Squad. The models are incredible. The person created a very nice base. The painting is great. There's this, like, I don't even know what it is, a sensor relay or whatever on there. And then they have a medic, who's trying to help one of his compatriots who has his guts falling out and just blood everywhere. And it's just really nicely well done, Command Squad. The artist, I believe his name is Joe Barnett. Two thumbs up. Good job, buddy. And also in the newsletter, they talk about a diorama that Mark Bedford did. Mark Bedford's, GW employee who's really cool. He works for the heavy metal team and stuff. And he did a diorama for Death Corps of Krieg. And as you may know, Death Corps of Krieg is one of Forge World's big pushes for an IG variant army. They're all Imperial Guardsmen who wear, like, mass as if they would be exposed to chemical biological warfare. And the diorama is really kind of cool. It has like a World War One feel to it, where they kind of pull in this artillery piece up like this muddy track with this one guy looking in binoculars. They got a horse wearing the same protective gear, which is kind of cool. Guy leading it, and like another guy leading the way, and it's really nice. You can see the veins and the muscle tones in the horse, and like the mud looks so real. It looks wet. It looks like you can make mud pie, and it's just really, really well done. So I strongly recommend that you go and check it out. It's just a really nice diorama. It's a good example of what you can do with your own models, whether they're Death Corps or anything else that you might have. And just kind of inspiring, so be sure to check that out as well. We have links both to the Forge World Best of Show and to the Death Corps Krieg diorama in our show notes. And I know you're thinking, well, this podcast is kind of GW heavy. And yeah, it is. And, you know, who can blame us? Because GW is the number one miniature game company out there right now. And so, of course, they're going to be getting a lot of press. One of the things that they're getting press on from us today is not in a good way. A lot of people may have at one point or another either subscribed to, purchased, read, or looked at and glanced or whatever the Games Workshop magazine. It's called White Dwarf, and in recent days, people have been complaining that the quality of White Dwarf is going downhill, that it's like a print version of the GW website, just trying to sell you stuff, catalog type of looking thing with no real substance, and that a lot of people aren't buying anymore. There's been kind of an exodus on it. And Games Workshop has announced that they're doing this subscription contest for it, where if you subscribe to White Dwarf, where it costs you, I believe, $60 a year, you have the slight chance of perhaps winning some box sets. For those of you who may not remember, and maybe you weren't around then, and maybe you were, Games Workshop used to, when you subscribed, let you get for free, in addition to the $50 and way back when $40 cost of the magazine, a box set costing no more than $20 of whatever you wanted. You could check off, did you want a Space Marine Combat Squad, did you want something for fantasy or whatever, you got it for free, they shipped it to you, or they gave you like free bits and discounts on, instead of paying whatever the retail price of the magazine was, you got like $10 off by subscribing, and that was awesome. But now they're doing this kind of gig thing where it's a contest that if you get a subscription or renew one, you're going to get every single Battle Force Battalion and Legions box set. Now that sounds like a lot of stuff, right? It's like, whoa, every single one of those? That's like a ton. Well, they claim that it's 23 box sets with over 950 models that's worth over $2,000. It is 23 box sets, and there's a lot of models. Now, the value of anything, you know, depends. We live in a capitalist society, and I'm not going to get into a debate on capitalism. We're not a political podcast, so though maybe sometime we could get into a discussion of it. I was a politics and also a history major in college, so, and I'm also a politician, and I'm politically active. So, you know, we could get involved into capitalism as a political entity or with my economic, minor economic, anyway, background as an economic situation, but we won't. Let's pretend that, you know, these boxes, they cost you retail $2,000. Well, what do they cost Games Workshop? According to a thread on Daka Daka, which is a premier 40K forum, someone ventured, and I don't think it's the amount they gave, but I don't think it's $2,000 either, but they ventured that it probably costs Games Workshop $100, rather, to make. I don't think it costs $100. They're not worth $2,000, although I suppose they're worth whatever anyone's willing to pay. But let's say they cost a few hundred dollars. Is it really worth it? I don't know. The prizes, if you look at, the boxes that you're probably not going to really use a whole lot, you just get tons of plastic, which, you know, could be good, but it's all sorts of different stuff. And are you just going to sell it off? If so, you sell it to your friends? You put it on eBay where you have to spend money to do that? You're going to try to do it in your friendly local gaming store? Do they even allow you to sell or just to trade? There's so many issues there. And I know you might say, hey, it's kind of nice. It's a cool prize. I could win it. Well, if people subscribe or renew with the intention of getting this, only one person's going to win this prize of dubious value. One person out of however many people renew or subscribe. People who would be renewing or subscribing to a magazine of questionable quality. Yes, it's been getting better. However, it's not good. It used to be, back when I used to read it, and even then it wasn't as good as it used to be. But back when I subscribed several years ago, it was decent. They had all sorts of different stuff, and even before, they had a lot of better stuff. They had all sorts of content. They had, you know, ways for you to scratch build stuff and convert things into other stuff. And they had a great letters page with Dirty Steve, who has since been, you know, canned. And all sorts of experimental rules and everything, and, you know, articles and whatnot. And now everything's photoshopped, or it's buy this, buy that. They're brief blurbs, and it's photos all over the place without any real content. And all those like experimental rules and content stuff they're putting into Warhammer Chronicles and, you know, the 40K version of whatever it is, the Stromnicon or whatever. They're just kind of disassembling it and putting it elsewhere to make you buy more. And yeah, you look at the magazines, you compare them in size, and the ones from today, bigger than the ones from before. But the ones from today, less content, lower quality, less value, higher price. Not worth it. Anyone who is intending to, you know, renew their subscription or to get a subscription because of this contest, strongly urging you to not. Now, I know there's a debate that this contest isn't intended for those of us who once upon a time remember the golden days of White Dwarf, or those of us who are kind of jaded about it, that it's intended for people who, you know, go into their friendly local gaming store, buy it monthly, and that's that. And that could be the case, because if you subscribe, Games Workshop gets all the money instead of just part of it, where, you know, it would do if you went to your local gaming store. And, you know, it might be a way to get a lot of subscriptions, and if it does tap into those people who, you know, pretty much often buy White Dwarf but don't subscribe, that, you know, they could make money hand over fist. And that could be true. But we've spent, you know, enough time talking about this particular issue right now. Don't want to beat a dead horse. And we actually just want to talk about one other issue, slightly. And that's because of an article posted on the CWF Gamecast blog about Windows Vista games. And for those of you who don't know, Windows Vista is the newest operating system by Microsoft. A lot of you might be running XP, you may have run, you know, Windows 2000, or hopefully not ME, although you may have, but I hope you didn't. And Windows Vista is the next step up. It's high performance, and it comes with all sorts of stuff. It's supposed to be great for gaming and everything. And it comes with a lot of free games, which is what the article talks about. However, article very positive light at things. But what we want to mention is that we strongly advise against using Windows Vista. Windows Vista is an operating software that works with high-end software. If you don't have that high-end new software, it requires that you get it. It works with high-end, high-performance hardware. If you do not have it, it will not work or work well with it. In order to get Windows Vista, and in order for it to work stably and at its best, and at a condition that will be suitable for you, you have to shell out a lot of money. It has a lot of issues with bugs. The release system that Microsoft is using is heavily in error, and Microsoft just has done a lot wrong with it. You would think that by now Microsoft would know what to do with an operating software. Apparently not. And I know there are people going to say, but it's more secure, and it has updates, and it's great. And it may be true about the security. However, the usability has decreased. The friendliness has decreased. It is not as instinctive. They tried to make it so, but it is not. It is, overall, a poor upgrade. It's going to seem like a great upgrade, a great new OS, but, you know, it's really not. A lot of research that we have done into this, we read a lot of technical manuals, we read a lot of magazines and journals on the issue, and belong to listservs and stuff from my work as a librarian, and everything shows that it's just really not suitable, and people think it is, and people are going to use it, and they're going to try it, and then they're going to say, hey, it's not what we thought. What were we thinking? So just, you know, some words of wisdom about it. If you can, try to stay away from it. If you were to buy new computers anytime in the near future, they're likely going to be coming pre-installed with Windows Vista. If you can, get a copy of XP now while you can. Get someone to custom build a computer for you if you need a new one. Buy a Mac. Get an Alienware. Whatever you do, don't get a thing like a Dell or a Gateway or anyone who's going to have Vista pre-installed. Just try to stave off if you can until the next version of Windows, whatever it is. And that's just my little rant on it. At this point, we've actually been with you for quite a while, about 25 minutes or so. And actually a little longer, I believe. But want to thank you for listening. As always, appreciate that you take time out of your busy schedule to listen to me rant and listen to those who come on the show with me and to our views and what's going on. Want to apologize for the lateness of this podcast. I had a very busy day between work, and since it is the last Thursday of the month, I run a graphic novel book club for teens in my town at my local library, because I'm a library trustee there. It's something they get extra credit for in school and everything. Great program. Plus, I'm involved with one of the campaigns for governor here in Massachusetts, and tonight was an important meeting that I had to attend. I promise that there will be a podcast Sunday at some point. Not exactly sure of the time. But I want to thank you, and I want to remind all of you that feedback is important and that we need it. So if you get a chance, please give us some feedback. It's much appreciated. Lastly, just want to remind you, you can find us on the World Wide Web at wargamingforums.com. We have all our show notes there. We have updates and blog entries and everything. So go there for that, and go there for the article on the Windows Vista free games. And that's it, really. Thank you. I hope you have a great night. Keep on gaming.